What's the one thing Johnny can do that will blow her mind?
The plates that he serves on, they're going to be warm. 9 times out of 10, ex-boyfriends trying to impress their girlfriends make their hot food and then put it on cold plates. It's a little shivery, and it's just a bad look. That and napkins.
Napkins?
Yeah. I mean, I can see in your eyes, Charles, you're making me out as like Alan Alda here, like Mr. Sensitive. But I'm telling you that a cloth napkin sends a message that you're not a bad guy.
Welcome to How To. I'm Charles Duhigg. Each week, we talk to listeners who are trying to figure out how to solve one of life's big problems, like how to withstand pain or how to fire a bad employee. Then we do some research and we track down an expert and we learn how to solve the problem. This week, we're headed to Brooklyn in the apartment of Johnny Levin.
Here's the doorbell. Hey, hey, how you doing?
Welcome to my home.
Hey, I'm Charles.
Johnny, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is it.
This is great.
Johnny's originally from Chicago, but he came to New York 8 years ago to study film and television at NYU.
And how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay. If I was talking to your roommates and asking them to describe you, what would they say?
Messy, especially when it comes to cooking. Just like, it's kind of like a nuclear explosion. Like, everything goes everywhere.
The thing is, Johnny's got a lot of great qualities, but he says there's one area where he could really use some work.
Yes.
He needs to up his game in the kitchen.
Just to become a better cook. There is a catalyzing moment for me, which was I was sitting on my couch in my living room with my ex-girlfriend, and my roommate had his friend Brian over, who was visiting from out of town. And Brian was cooking breakfast, and he was dazzling. He was doing that thing where he's shaking the pan, and it's also like above the fire, like professional, and tossing it up and down. And my girlfriend was just staring at him, like, mouth open, just amazed. And I think especially in contrast to my difficulties. And I was just like, I want to be like Brian. He just has so much control. He has confidence in himself. My ex-girlfriend, she could cut vegetables like bam, 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 bam.
And she didn't leave you for Brian.
She didn't leave me for Brian. Luckily, okay. Brian lives across the country. But a week later, she's like, I talked about Brian in therapy. And I was like, oh my God, that must have been like vis-a-vis me. That like, I think he was so poised and in control. He was smooth. And I am not like that.
And it's not just that Johnny isn't smooth. One time, for instance,
I woke up early, I went to the gym, and then I bought one of those
acai
packets and then a bunch of fruit and hemp seeds, and I put it in the blender and cut it up all nice. And then she ate it, and it made her violently ill, and she was throwing up on the sidewalk, and we were taking the ferry to an event she had at Roosevelt Island, and she was nauseous, and then like the ferry's about to dock, and she jumps off early to like throw up more on the dock. And meanwhile, they're shaming her on the public address system, like, you miss, you cannot get off the ferry early. Oh no, she's throwing up. It was horribly embarrassing. And my fault.
And how did you screw up the...
I don't know. Maybe it was the hemp seeds.
How long ago did you guys break up?
A few months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still kind of like raw.
Yeah.
I'll give Johnny this. Whatever skills he's lacking, he is at least really enthusiastic. And it is possible that learning how to cook the right meal, it might make the difference in his love life.
I texted my ex-girlfriend for what my difficulties in the kitchen were. What can I improve? She said, chopping onions with skin still on, eyeballing measurements, general messiness, knife skills, lots of spilling. And I said, that falls under general messiness. And she said, issues with heat, like what medium heat or simmer means on the stove. And I do agree. That's what stresses me out. Again, talking about precision. If it's like, turn the thing to medium heat. I'm like, why don't they just say 7 or whatever or low? I mean, why are we talking in code here? And then she also said struggles with kitchen slang, like what a clove of garlic means.
So wait, you texted your girlfriend recently to ask about?
In preparation for
okay.
this.
Okay, so you guys are still in touch?
Yeah, we're still in touch.
And are you like hoping that like if you are better in the kitchen, you're going to like rekindle the flame or?
Who knows?
Okay.
Maybe this is my fatal flaw. So once it's corrected, I don't know.
You're on fire.
Yeah.
No, she won't be able to turn you down.
Exactly.
So we decided to help Johnny get better in the kitchen by talking to this guy.
I'm Sam Sifton. I'm the food editor of the New York Times and the founding editor of NYT Cooking.
When we come back, we'll see if Sam can help Johnny win back his girlfriend, or at least cook a chicken all the way through.
He's just got to be confident about that, and he's not looking to make some frilly, over-the-top, impressive meal. He's just going to make a really good meal and feel good about it and deliver it to someone he cares about, and everything's going to be okay.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going. Today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves. Or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions, and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
So you are a man who knows food.
I know a couple things here or there.
Sam Sifton is the food editor of the New York Times, and he's the paper's former restaurant critic.
That's a tough job to complain about.
He's the author of a number of amazing cookbooks. My wife actually loves them. In other words, Sam's a guy who knows his way around a kitchen. But what's amazing about his writing and his recipes is you never feel like he's a snob.
I'm not a chef. I'm just a regular Joe. I'm a reporter who happens to cover this stuff, and I'm a critic who happens to think about it a lot. But I'm not dissimilar from most people who cook.
And that's actually why we wanted to talk to you, is because this young guy reached out to us, and he has a lady friend that he was hoping to impress, and this guy is a terrible cook. Like he does not know what he's doing in the kitchen, which is not that totally dissimilar from me, I must say.
It's true of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's also not true for most of them. They think they're terrible cooks, but there's something they know how to do. And if they can access the confidence that they have when they're making popcorn or mixing up that weird cereal and yogurt concoction or whatever it is, access that confidence and you're going to be able to cook that closer meal you're looking for with your special friend.
I asked Sam, who I should mention is happily married now and has kids, but I asked him when he was young, like, how did he try and impress other people in the kitchen?
I never had a sort of go-to, like, you know, I make them the piccata and it's game over. I wish that were the case, but it's not. I was, as I'm arguing others should, seeking self-confidence in the kitchen so that I could serve a delicious meal that would bring happiness to someone else. So my game was, what's the sort of simplest, impressive thing that I can pull off?
So this is actually, it brings up the first question, which is, when is the right time to try and make a meal for someone?
I'm not generally in the business I'm often in the business of throwing down rules. So I'm just going to say third date.
You can that's go the time?
Third date minimum.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's the safest.
There you have it. Sam's first rule is don't even attempt to cook a meal until your third date.
Johnny is nervous about this, so we're going to keep this as simple as possible. So we're going to make skin on bone in chicken thighs.
So chicken thighs, we're going to go, that's our protein. We're not going to do like an hors d'oeuvre, no appetizer?
No. You might have a bowl of nuts.
Okay.
But what Johnny needs is confidence. He got in touch with you because he's a lousy cook or thinks he's a lousy cook, right?
That's true.
So maybe what he heard was, I'd like a really complicated meal and I'd like there to be all this stuff and there's going to be champagne and there's going to be hors d'oeuvres. What's Johnny going to do? A tasting menu now?
This is the next rule. If you want to cook at least one meal really well, you need to know some basics about food, right? But more than anything else, you need confidence.
And the best way to do that is to be a master of his surroundings. Not to have too much going on, but to know the points he's going to hit. And he can hit this main course of the chicken, starch, and vegetable, serve this amazing melty cheese, because 90% of people eat their cheese cold from the fridge, but here we're going to have it room temperature and oozing and melting and very sensual, and that's a pretty good look.
Yeah.
And then a playful touch at the end with a dessert, which I'll give you, that's bonkers. It works every time.
Okay, so going back to Johnny, I'm going to give him the Sam Sifton self-improvement, confidence-building prep speech. And then he has to actually make a meal. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got chicken. He's bought some chicken breasts.
No. See, already you're screwing Johnny. So the problem with the breasts is it's really easy to overcook a chicken breast.
Okay.
And then you have that dry, sawdusty white meat scenario. And that's just not a recipe for a win.
Okay.
We're going chicken thighs, which are fattier, more forgiving, more flavor, cheaper, not for nothing. And to my mind, infinitely more delicious.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So he's got chicken thighs.
So we have the chicken thighs. Now, for a starch, we're going to go with rice.
That's it.
It's going to be perfect rice. And I know he's nervous about that, but he's going to go to Delancey Street and buy a rice cooker. And that's going to stand him in good stead for the rest of his life, whatever happens on this date. A rice cooker is a relatively inexpensive piece of technology that has one job: to make perfect rice. And it does it every single time.
So Johnny didn't actually have a rice cooker. So I went out and I bought one for him. And then I came back. And then we headed into his kitchen and got started.
Are we supposed to wash the rice before we cook the rice? I think I kind of remember that.
Johnny's kitchen is pretty small, and it's very, very bare. It's about what you would expect from like a 26-year-old guy who lives in a shared apartment. There's a bottle of gin in the freezer, and it's next to this chili that Johnny's mom sent him in 2017. But the kitchen does have a microwave.
Okay, my microwave is busted, and it's busted because I used to use it as a timer, but I didn't use the timer function. I would still have it operate. With nothing in it, and it kind of went kerplunk. And it's a beautiful big microwave.
You fried your own microwave by using it as a timer when you would actually run the microwave empty in order to use the timer function?
Correct.
Have you told your landlord yet that you'd fried their...
I'm trying to make it seem like it's their fault.
This is another rule. Don't run an empty microwave because you're too lazy to get a real timer. Also, don't let your landlord listen to this podcast. So we started with the first step of the recipe Sam gave me.
Bring some water to the boil, as they say in the cookbook trade. Heavily salted water. And I'd get my green beans into that water for like 3 minutes max, and then get them into the sink under a lot of cold water to arrest the cooking process.
Okay.
They'll be bright green as a result of this.
Nice,
right?
Yeah.
If you have a colander, and Johnny, I hope you have a colander, you can run it through the colander, and that'll get that hot water out of there faster, and you can ice it and get it quick. But if you don't, you'll figure it out. Just get those things cold as quickly as possible, and then you can put them aside.
I think you've already... Oh, I think more water. You want a lot more cold water.
So we've got the rice cooking in the rice cooker.
We've got water boiling so we can throw in some green beans for 3 minutes. It turns out that Johnny does, in fact, own a colander, which is great. And that means it is time to start in on the chicken.
The first thing you do is season the chicken, which you want to do like really aggressively.
Okay.
Okay.
Meaning like more than it feels like I should be
doing?
Yeah,
you should be like, wow, that's a lot. We're going to do like a kind of a, like a fake confit, which is a French process of cooking in its own fat.
Okay.
We're not cooking in chicken fat. We'll be cooking in olive oil and not a ton, but a lot. So what you want to do is get some salt and pepper on there, quite a lot of salt, quite a lot of pepper, really massage it in there. And then I think, hey, it's Johnny's party, but I'm offering the instruction.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with some rosemary as well.
Oof, crazy.
Right? Super fragrant, piney, funky, really
nice. You're
getting
nice. A little off the hook, my friend.
It's going to be good. We're getting crazy. And maybe some red pepper flakes if you have some left over from the pizzeria when you bought those slices
right.
after the last
date
went.
Because that's the spicy, right? We want to get a little spicy too. Yeah.
Okay. So take your salt, take your pepper, and like you just want to go to town. And yes, you're doing great. That's exactly, man, you're killing it. Keep on going.
All right.
Keep now on. We're going to get a big high-sided pan.
Okay.
I don't know how many pans Johnny has. I'm going to guess 3.
How many pans do you have?
I have 1, 2, 3.
So what's the biggest pan that you own?
This guy.
That's the biggest pan? Yeah.
Okay. You're going to take the biggest one, and we're going to put a lot of olive oil in there.
Okay. Like when you say a lot, how much do you mean?
Like glug, 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 glug.
I think it was like 14 glugs.
There's a lot of glugs.
So is it, when I put the chicken in, is it going to be submerged?
No, it's not. But we're also not skimming the pan with just a little oil.
I think it's all about confidence, right? You just roll with it.
Glug.
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 Glug. Glug.
So we have a lot of olive oil in there. If you have a bay leaf, that would be cool to go in that olive oil, but I'm guessing Johnny doesn't have a bay leaf. That's okay. Medium heat.
Medium heat, meaning in the oven.
No, so on the stovetop, Charles,
okay,
there's a dial under each one of the burners. And usually they're labeled low, medium, and high. We want to go in the middle, and this is a moment for reflection. Watching that oil.
What do you reflect about? When
I'm actually just spacing out and watching the oil because it changes a little bit. It begins to move a little bit. And eventually it's going to take on this thing that is like a mirage, a little bit of a shimmer. And then we know it's pretty hot.
And then it's a kind of an opportunity to contemplate our lives and, you know, change is inevitable.
Is this the right girl to be making this chicken for?
Eventually, when it's time to stop contemplating life's most important questions, the oil will be relatively hot. And that's when we put in our chicken.
Exactly. Ooh. Go for it. Looking good.
You want it bubbling, but you don't want it out of control.
Amazing.
And you can move pretty slowly.
Like, okay.
This is a very forgiving process It'll for burn. Johnny, who's nervous and doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, sorry.
That's a lot of oil. Okay, but nobody's hurt. That's okay.
And after about 15 or 20 minutes, turn the pieces over.
Okay.
I would start skin down.
Meaning the breasts, like the top of the chicken down.
Yeah. So their thighs, once again, your breast obsession is laudable, but misplaced. They are thighs, and they have a side that is mostly skin and a side that is mostly not skin.
Right.
So I would put the skin side down so that it has more of a chance of crisping at the beginning.
I think let's flip them. I think it's time to flip. Nice. Well done. The oil's acting up a little bit, but...
So that's going. And in fact, if you feel that the chicken is done, you can take it out and just like kind of let it hang out. On a platter.
On a plate?
Like notice that I use the word platter and you use the word plate.
I feel like this is where the pro tip starts.
Man.
Get the platter.
Get the platter.
Okay.
Make it warm. Okay, so your chicken is going to be done. We're confident about it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to look like a beautiful piece of furniture, this mahogany color. It's going to be just fantastic.
I'm feeling very confident right now.
Is it done? I'm a little nervous about that. We cooked six of these things. One of them is sacrificial.
Okay.
So when he thinks it's done, he can take it out, put it on a cutting board, and use a small knife to cut along one of the bones in the thigh and take a peek at the interior meat to see, like, what's going on in there.
Right.
Is it red? You want it to be done. Running, the juice is running clear and not bloody.
Okay.
Right? And then done all the way down to the bone.
That seems like a clutch move to not introduce blood into a date.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Salmonella is a buzzkill, right? for a date.
And while you're doing it, I'm going to check on our rice. Rice looks good. The rice is all done. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
That's huge.
That's
a game changer.
Right?
So we've dealt with the chicken. How about that starch? Oh, it's done, baby.
Boom. Boom.
All it needs is fluffing and put it on the table. So we're 2 out of 3. And we've already cooked those green beans. So one thing we could do is just toss them in butter.
Okay.
With a little, maybe with some slivered almonds that you got from the nut aisle at the Whole Foods.
That works.
A little salt, squeeze some lemon juice on there at the end, you know, before serving. So now we're done, right?
We're done.
I mean, one of the things that I really like about this combination that we've put together is that you have a kind of crisp, crunchy, salty, almost spicy or hints of spiciness in the chicken.
Yeah.
And it's quite juicy. And then you have the kind of crispness of those green beans, right? They have a little bit of a snap to them. And then a textural element from both the salt that you've put on there at the end and from the nuts. And that sweetness vectors with the sweetness of the chicken. The saltiness kind of talks to each other. And the rice acts as this kind of nutty, tasting pure bridge between the two.
Maybe I should get better china because I have these generic white boring.
And then we're done. And so we put it on the plate.
Well, whoa. We want to be careful about just putting it on the plate. This is not a soup kitchen. You're not like in the army. Like, you don't have to make it look like an architect was involved. But let's keep the border and the food within it.
Okay.
And maybe you've got a chicken thigh or two chicken thighs, a little drift of the rice, and then a stack of the green beans in which you have, Johnny, please, tried to make them all go in the same direction so that they're parallel.
So our final rule, presentation matters. Clean up the plate. Make all the beans point in the same direction. You know, classy, right? Sam also says, you know, light a few candles, grab a bottle of red wine, and you don't even have to overthink it. Just go to the wine store, ask the guy what you should serve, and then take his advice.
Okay. Show me your napkins. What kind of napkins you got?
The kind of napkins we have are paper towels.
Ooh.
Not classy. But I could improvise and use a dish towel as a napkin.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
if that's better.
I would say before date, maybe we go buy two nice plates, dinner plates, and maybe we buy two cloth napkins.
Yeah.
So is there anything else we need before the doorbell rings?
No, like, no, we still haven't talked about dessert.
Yeah, dessert.
Dessert's going to be a win.
Okay.
You're going to take the plates when it's all done, take them into the kitchen, don't deal with them now, come back with the cheese and two little plates. The bread is right there.
Oh man, the cheese is looking great. It is oozing. It is super oozing.
Get through all of that. Oh my gosh, that was so good. It was so great. Everybody's super happy. She's stoked. He's stoked. I was right to be confident. Everything is great. What possibly could come next? And now's when you go to the hoop with store-bought all the way. The semi-confident people will have some ice cream.
Yeah.
Not us, man. Malamar in a glass, a tiny glass, like just a couple of ounces of cold organic milk and a Malamar.
Whoa!
Boom. And that's how you close.
Did we just blow her mind?
That's how you close, Johnny. Malamar organic milk. You know Malamar.
Yeah.
Chocolate-covered marshmallow with a little gram on the bottom. There's this thing that happens, I found, that you have not had milk, and perhaps neither has she or he, in many, many years. Now you're coming back, and it's like a Madeline, this taste, because organic milk now, grass-fed organic milk, is so delicious.
It is amazing.
And that pure kind of barnyard awesomeness with that one single chocolate cookie after the cheese. So you started out really basic, yeah, just like mom would make. And then you got a little more sophistico with the cheese. And then you're like a little kid again. And I don't know, you want to go listen to records?
Who knows what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
But you're also a good guy, right? A creepy guy would not serve a Malamar in organic milk.
Right.
At the end of the night.
Right. A creepy guy might like tie up a trout with chives and, totally, you know, like that's
the
just
guy who's
like,
putting a roofie in your drink.
Yeah, yeah. Watch it. Watch it. No, seriously. It's a third date with some dude and it's like, and he's not a professional chef, but he did this crazy bondage thing with a trout, and then there's all kinds of different butters, and like he told you too much about the wine, and it, don't be a jerk, man.
I love this. I would eat this meal.
Just try to bring pleasure to the other person. That's it.
Oh, I like that.
It's not about you. It's about serving someone. Like it's to deliver joy to other people. So we started by talking about confidence because I think confidence allows you to do a lot of this stuff. But there's a related word that also applies, and that's competence. Hmm. And I think that probably there is very little that is more attractive than competence. The ability to do something in the service of others is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And brings confidence to the person who can do it, and delivers kind of relief to the, yeah, person who receives it. I can make this dinner for you and you will find it delicious. I can also change the wheel in your car and fix that leaky toilet, and I'm pretty good at making a living.
I'm going to take care of you in the kitchen. I'm going to take care of you emotionally.
It's okay.
So we've talked all about what Johnny should do. What's the one thing Johnny should not do?
Well, it's don't apologize.
Interesting.
Do not apologize. You will be so sorely tempted to do so, but don't apologize because it looks like you're kind of begging for a compliment, which is just an awkward, weird, it's a bad look. By the same token, don't try and explain how much you know about how, like, you listen to a podcast at Slate. You're not like a CIA trained chef. You just barely got that chicken on the table. There's still a price tag on the rice cooker. Just, here's a delicious thing to eat, and I hope you really enjoy it.
Be true to thine zone.
Yeah. And then she'll say, it's actually pretty dry. And if it is, you got to be like, yep.
I did that on purpose.
Would you like a Malamar?
So me and Johnny went through all of Sam's rules, and for 2 hours we cooked.
Yeah. Can I try with the green beans?
And then we sat down to eat the meal.
Chicken is really good. It's really, really good.
I love it.
And I'll be totally honest with you, the meal was amazing. It was perfect. I'm not just saying that just because it's the name of this episode. It like tasted kind of gourmet, but also simple. We impressed ourselves. And then after the main course, we ate some of the runny cheese with a baguette. And then it was time for dessert. And I had actually gone to the grocery store to find the Malamars, but I couldn't find them. And so we finished with what I had managed to find, which was chocolate-covered Nutter Butters, which honestly, not as classy as a Malamar, but still actually pretty good.
So, okay. So we did the meal.
Yeah.
We ate the chocolate-covered Nutter Butter. Tell me your reaction.
It was delicious.
Do you feel like you'll be more confident in the kitchen now?
I think so. Having this experience under my belt, I think it can be repeated.
So do you think you're going to invite your ex-girlfriend over and make her dinner?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely a game changer. I think it's one of those things that, like, she's talking to her friends the next day and she's like, he made the most amazing meal. And, and it's that thing where they're like, and he can cook? like I think that if that's the last line in my obituary, I'd be pretty satisfied with that. But maybe on my next date, you'll come over as well. Totally. And we'll work on this. I'm a little, the training wheel still needs to be on for a little bit. And then we'll.
I'll stand outside the window. And
yes, just exactly. Just give me a thumbs up.
If you want to see the recipe for Sam Sifton's one perfect meal, we've actually posted it online, along with photos of Johnny and these beautiful chicken thighs that we made together. They're at slate.com/how-to. Thanks so much to Johnny Levin for letting us into his kitchen, and to Sam Sifton at the New York Times. Sam has a ton of great cookbooks he's written, including Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well, and a new one coming out in a few months called See You on Sunday, a cookbook for family and friends. We're going to stay in touch with Johnny, and if his romantic life improves because of his cooking, we will definitely keep you posted. If you have something we can help you with, we want to hear from you. Send us a note about your problem at howto@slate.com, and we'll take on your case and see if we can't make the problem go away. Also, if you like what you heard today, please give us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show. It helps us know that someone's listening. Also, my wife might think I'm more cool. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Merritt Jacob is our engineer. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown. June Thomas is the senior managing producer of Slate Podcasts, and Gabriel Roth is Slate's editorial director for audio. Special thanks to Michael Conrader and Asha Saluja. I'm Charles Duhigg. Thanks for listening. If you don't already know, TuneIn is an all-in-one audio app where you can listen to live sports, music, news, and your favorite podcasts. Go to TuneIn.com to download the app or listen to How To with me, Charles Duhigg, on TuneIn.